This episode is sponsored by VTech.
All right, on today's episode of Heads in the Cloud, we're joined, John and I, not Graham and I, are joined by Kevin Cox, former Star2Star employee, current Star2Star partner in studio. Stick around, it's a great episode, really fascinating to hear about Kevin's story from going from employee to partner and what that's been like, and it's been a bit of a fun year for Mr. Cox. So stick around, and we will be sure to entertain you.
Heads in the Cloud with your hosts David Portnowitz and Graham Potter.
Today's episode of Heads in the Cloud. I'm David Portnowitz. Again, John Roth, two in a row. No Graham Potter. Out again.
Where and I'm here.
You're in. You're the new face.
I feel honored to be trying to fill the shoes of Graham.
I think your feet are actually bigger than Graham's. I think
they're probably. If we want to go to the shoe size already, we're going to start the podcast off with shoe size thing. Jokes.
Okay. No, but today we're actually joined in studio by a former Star2Star employee and current partner, Kevin Cox, who is the president of Gulf Tech IT. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you, David. Thank you. Thank you, John.
You're welcome. Thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. It's good to see you.
And you and John have a nice history. I think John may have hired you back in the day at Star2Star. Is that true?
Allegedly.
Is that the story? It's like allegedly.
When did you start at Star2Star?
So I started with Star2Star in 2013.
Okay.
John was one of the many executives that interviewed me.
Yeah.
As well as Colin, Johnston, Joe.
A rigorous interview process.
Rigorous, yep.
Yeah.
Apparently, he lost me on a coin flip.
Oh.
I did. I wanted him for my team.
Yeah.
And then Brian Asher wanted him for his team. And we had a coin flip. And I lost.
And Brian won him.
Yeah, he did.
But then you won me down the road.
I got you back. I got the.
We did a trade.
Yeah. Second half kickoff. I got the defer.
Free agency.
You deferred to the second half.
I did.
It was a bad pun. Bad sports puns. That's what this podcast is known for. So you were here from 2013 until
2018. January of this year.
And then you left. And so it's an interesting story because you and another former Star2Star employee, Brian Coomer, left. And when one of our partners up in Tampa had passed away, you bought the company from his family. Tell us a little bit about going from an employee to a partner and what that whole transition was like for you guys.
Yeah, so Brian and I obviously have some extensive background here with Star2Star. And when this opportunity presented itself, it was kind of a no-brainer. It's been a good transition for me. A lot of the same roles and responsibilities I had at Star2Star, I still have with Gulf Tech IT.
Mm-hmm.
I handle all of our sales and marketing. I assist with service calls, configuration changes, so on and so forth. Brian really, though, is kind of the glue that keeps our company together.
Should have interviewed him then.
He'd been a better interview. Of course, he's working today, actually doing installations while I'm here. So, but Brian's great because he can completely configure a system, install it, train the employee or the employees of the company, and then support it as well. He's done so many installations. He's wonderful with customers, whether they're existing clients that need assistance or new clients that we implement together. And we usually try, if it's a large enough client, we try to be on site together during the sales process,
mm-hmm.
because obviously he brings a great
knowledge.
So together we tend to be able to do a great job.
So is it just
that.
The two of you guys?
Just the two of us right now. We have some project work that we do, or we'll bring in some employees to do that, like on a 1099 basis. But yeah, so if we have to do a lot of installation of say 60 plus phones, there's usually three of us on site doing that. So, but yeah, it so far it's worked wonderful.
And you guys took over for Alpha, the Gulf Tech IT sort of took over in May of this year, right?
Yeah. So, we started the process of buying the business, and that was final in May of this year. Prior to that, Brian had been working there probably since October of 2017, and I started in roughly around February with some account management and some new sales. And then when everything was final in May, we're off and running. So,
And then you rebranded the company. Take us through a little bit, like, what that process was like, and how did you sort of go through that and develop a new logo and a new name? How did that sort of go for you guys?
Yeah, so that's the first time I've ever started a company. If you've never done that before, it's a very unique experience. So due to legal reasons, we needed to form a new entity mm-hmm. and purchase the assets of Alpha Business Telephone. It was kind of a, where do we go first? Do we come up with a name? Do we find a website? Do we find a logo? And it was kind of a combination of three or four different things going into play where we finally settled on this name.
A lot of moving parts. Yeah.
Correct. Right. And we chose this name for a couple of reasons. A, it kind of represents the area. B, we're certainly more than just a phone company. We're a tech company, and we want to get into the IT space as well, potentially and eventually the managed services space. That's something that really Alpha Business Telephone didn't do before. The previous owner, Doug, did a great job with phone systems and internet connectivity, but it kind of stopped there. He always knew a guy that could do it for you. We kind of want to be that guy.
Yeah, like many partners, you want to transition to the MSP model. It's the direction that the whole industry is moving. So you guys launch in 2019, in the summer of 2019, really? Like 18. Spring or 2018, geez,
I'm still in 18.
I'm way ahead of myself. So you're here 2018, and then you come up with a new logo, new mm-hmm. brand, and you take over the clients. Is it, you got about 120 customers
in
this area, mostly in Florida?
Mostly in Florida, yeah. Or at least they're headquartered
around
in Florida.
Tampa Bay.
Or scattered the bulk of them are Tampa Bay, with some offices. For example, we have a couple of law firms that have mm-hmm. locations in Fort Lauderdale or Naples or Texas or things of that nature.
Oh, that's cool.
Our largest client has about 19 assisted living facilities in Ohio and Georgia. Mm-hmm. We have a plumbing company up in New York that we support as well. So yeah, we're kind of all over the place, and that's the beauty of the product is that once you get it installed, it's very easy to support, and it fits that model really well.
So when you are supporting those customers that are out of state, do you have to travel? Are you traveling there, or is it mostly done remote?
The bulk of what we do would be remote.
Yeah.
So we have some local partners in those areas. Gotcha. If we need to have boots on the ground, so to speak, we can certainly hire a company to go out and, maybe put their hands on the Switch or the Starbucks or what have you. but for installations, for example, we'll travel. We're doing a big project coming up in January for one of our large clients in Georgia. It's about 15 locations.
Nice.
So Brian will be on the road or...
Pack a More bag, likely, and you're just yeah, you're gone. Just going to put all the equipment on and go to the individual
right.
sites and drive through it. And,
yeah, okay. It'll be probably a 2 or 3 week project.
Wow.
To take care of. We're going to kind of oversee all of the infrastructure, make sure everything looks great.
Right.
So we definitely can travel if we need to. In fact, today he's in Stuart, Florida, doing an installation. So we're really all over the place all the time.
Now, and you guys. So speaking of this, him and Stuart, you guys do installations for other partners too, right? You're using through partner services from Star to Star, you're doing installations for partners that can't do that process, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So we have a really good relationship. Brian was on the partner services team when he was here. I utilized partner services.
Basically, when it started, partner services was Brian.
It really was. It was Brian. So I think because of that and because of the roots that we have with Star to Star, we're still asked to do a lot of those installations.
Yeah. Especially in Florida.
Especially in Florida, yeah. Absolutely. And the great thing about Brian is he can really run with that complete operation. So they can turn over the deal to Brian. He'll work with the customer and or the agent to sort out the configuration. He'll perform the installation himself. He'll also stayed overnight last night just to do the training today for that client. So we really take a hands-on approach, whether it's our client or we're doing the work for partner services. And I think that's why they've come back to us several times, because the quality of work, the comfortability, the job that he does with the partner services team is great. And a lot of agents actually request us by name when they turn in the deal. They say, hey, I want Brian and Gulf Tech to take care of this. So
is there enough money in that sort of model to support the company to do installations for others, or you have to supplement that with a ton of new deals, or how does that work for partners who don't do that now?
There's definitely not enough money to support that, and the infrequency of those deals coming in becomes.
But it's a nice sort of supplemental thing, add on. And I think that's what some of the partners that are new that maybe have the installation services that aren't working with partner services now should think about a sort of an additional revenue stream that they can do installations and make some money on the side that they wouldn't get normally.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's kind of a catch-22. So a lot of the partner services employees don't really want to hire necessarily a new partner that doesn't have a lot of installation experience. Yeah. I think that's why we get the nod a lot of times. And because I don't think we've ever turned a deal down except maybe one that was really way south, like in the Keys perhaps. Yeah. And just financially, it wasn't feasible for us to take care of. But we tend to say yes to virtually everything. But to answer your question, no, I don't think that you can supplement your entire business with that.
Right, but
income.
It's a good additional sort of revenue stream. That's what I was getting at.
Correct. Yeah, between that revenue stream, between our recurring customer base of roughly 120 clients and the new sales opportunity and the spiffs that are available, that's the right mix right there.
Yeah,
and
keep there's partners that have the same type of a DNA that a GolfTech has in different parts of the country that basically they are the ones that are driving and agents are asking for them. So it says a lot because it's like it's tough to have, total complete customer satisfaction when you're out there and dealing with a customer one-on-one sometimes. Of like, you can't do everything just 100% perfectly, but to do it as best you can, that is what we're seeing out there. We're seeing that especially in, GolfTech and prior to that was Doug at AlphaNet was like he did a lot of that. He was a great guy. We miss him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But you're right, John. It's hard to make all the clients happy all the time, and you're kind of on an island when you're out there doing an installation, especially when you weren't the agent to sell it.
Yeah.
So some of the expectations are set from the sales side that now somebody has to deliver. So that's always kind of a tough one. Like, I thought it would do this and it's like it won't. So it's like I think you get involved from sometimes in the beginning of you get involved in part of the sales process to making sure that no. So that's a tough one. So sometimes you walk out there and you got to reset
expectations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually once the deal has passed through the order commencement process and it's moved over to partner services desk, they'll contact us. And at that point, we usually take over. Or at least work with the partner services team to schedule kickoff calls, configuration calls, depending on what level of engagement they've hired us for.
I think it's important to have, if you've got the knowledge that a Brian and yourself have of StarStar product.
Well, really,
I mean,
don't sell yourself short, Kev.
On the installation part, it's definitely Kev.
You're an incredible slot. What was that? There was that Caddyshack, wasn't it? Yeah, don't sell yourself short.
That's right.
We need Sean Corrigan for those kind of references. He knows.
So it's like when sometimes those feature requests come up, like I need it to do this. It's like to understand and go, oh, I can do it this way.
Correct.
And, Brian has done that for many, many years, and so have you, Kevin.
That's right.
Don't sell yourself short.
I'm just kidding. Thank you. Yeah, you're right. Those questions come up by the customer a lot. And, hey, I want it to do this, or I need it to do this. Yeah. And it's like, hey, either it can or can't. Between the two of us, we do have a pretty good grasp on the system and its capabilities. It tends to work out really well.
So, when you're out there, where do you get the majority of your new customers from? Are they from word of mouth, referral, or sort of, are you just out there knocking on doors, or what are you doing?
So, So the bulk of our new clients would come from referrals.
Yeah.
And most of those would be referrals from other
customers, existing
clients, correct. We do get some leads from our website. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, one will run through
Star to Star,
and I'll get an email or a phone call. But the bulk of them do come from that. We recently, though, just joined a B&I group here in Sarasota. So obviously the big point of that is to get referrals as well. Our website has every possible means of easily getting in touch with us.
Yeah.
But a lot of that, I think, comes from the really good quality referrals or leads come from the existing clients that have had a great experience with GolfTech IT and Star to Star for so many years. Lawyers' offices and, hey, I've gotten several from lawyers' offices. We have a lot of law firms that we handle. you know, hey, I heard you guys handle so-and-so's phone. Can you give us a quote? Which is great. Some existing clients that have needed to expand. That's a very recent one. Existing location. We've taken care of them for roughly 5 years. And they just bought 7 more offices.
Nice.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're rolling out that project probably next week. So
a question. So website, are you using our marketing tools?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I know you were just talking about you could use your co-op dollars to get out to join the BNI group, I believe.
I use co-op dollars to join the BNI group. I use co-op dollars for this fancy new shirt that I have on
right
here.
Awesome. That's awesome. You can't actually see the shirt, but it is spectacular.
Thank you.
We'll have to post it online, right? You brought shirts for everyone, correct?
Shirts for everyone. Yeah. You paid for them.
Okay. So.
Okay.
Did
you get my size?
Actually, you know, we got it for Graham.
Oh, okay.
We'll have to get one for you.
No, he's you can't say that.
Work for the audio medium of me shaking my head. No, doesn't work for this for the listener.
So, are you using the Ziff program? That's specifically.
I don't think. Are you using that?
I am.
Okay, good.
You are using.
I use
that.
It for social media marketing.
Okay,
nice.
I've done some co-branded PDFs.
Okay.
In fact. Not that it necessarily helped us close the deal, but it certainly didn't hurt. Our largest client, we're doing a 4G LTE solution. So I co-branded that flyer for them with our logo on the bottom as well. So we're working on that at the beginning of the year. That's the project that we'll be doing in Georgia.
Oh, nice.
So, but yeah, we do leverage our co-op dollars. There were a lot from that large sale that took place in 2016. That rolled over and we had to use by the end of this year. So I think we still have some left. And
I'll get a shirt for me.
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. I mean, you did hire him, sort of.
We don't have any Smediums. So.
Smedium?
Yeah, Smedium.
Oh, Smedium. Okay.
The size that you'd wear.
You look good in a Smedium, I think.
Okay.
I still have that sweater.
That's
pretty
awkward. You know what? I was trying to find the picture of you in the sweater at the. We actually have one of you in your.
I have the picture.
You were. Yeah.
What is this sweater?
It's a horizontal striped sweater that Kevin wore at Christmas time, and we had some sort of a bet that
you could fit into it.
Actually, I did fit into it. I think I stretched it out quite a bit, but I fit into.
You're familiar with that Seinfeld episode?
It made me look bigger than I.
Yeah, horizontal stripes are not great for anybody.
Yeah. I remember the picture.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There it is, right there.
Sweater.
Remember this picture? Yeah,
I've seen this. I'm also not great for the visual for the people listening.
Yeah,
but I do remember this Kevin Cox sweater. Yes, it had an orange stripe.
You still have that sweater?
I still have it.
You have it like mounted,
framed.
You have it framed mounted. Okay.
Do you remember the Seinfeld where George was getting apologized, or the guy was going around doing the 12 steps of the apology for joining
the amends?
Yeah, the amends, and George wanted an apology for him for. He said he was mean to him for putting his bulbous head through the sweater. The guy wouldn't apologize. He's like, you were going to stretch my cashmere sweater? That's gold, Jerry.
Gold. Gold, David.
I like that episode.
I think I did stretch that sweater out, didn't I?
You like George Costanza.
I do like George Costanza.
No, you are like George Costanza.
I am pretty much.
I can wash it in hot water.
Except
I've got
a little more hair. That's all I got. That's awkward, isn't it?
No, so I don't
know. So if you were a color, what color would you be, Kevin? I just.
I'd be gray.
You'd be gray. Well, you know what? I'm seeing that. Why gray?
That's my wife's favorite color.
Is it?
Yeah, our whole house is gray. So I hope she's not listening right now.
You have a gray.
She's going to listen.
She's going to listen.
Are you going to tell her about it?
I do have a silver car.
Everything you have has like got a hint of gray in it?
Yeah, she
Touch
loves.
Touch of gray.
She
Kevin
loves
Cox.
Gray.
Touch of gray.
That's like, what is that? What is that?
Even my hair.
Yeah.
Hair, touch of gray.
Apparently it's versatile and you can add other accent colors to gray and it just tends to be a nice base color.
Okay.
It's consistent.
All right.
It's reliable.
I like the, yeah.
That's what you're looking for in a color.
That's what you're looking for in a color.
When you're thinking about a color, those are the two things that just pop up. Consistency and reliability.
No, blue's probably my favorite color.
Blue.
What color blue?
Ooh.
Royal? Dark? Or
teal? Or, aqua? Navy?
You like this color, don't you?
Your shirt's very nice.
What color?
Oh,
describe it for our listeners.
I didn't feel that.
It's kind of a check of blue tablecloth. From...
Imagine a tablecloth, and that's what John Roth is
wearing. Oh, there, little pony.
Blue checkered.
Okay.
Blue
watch
checkered.
Out, little
small,
pony there.
Small blue checkered shirt.
Okay.
John's always been very stylish, though. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So now that you're on the partner side, Why do all the deals only come in the fourth quarter? No, I'm just joking. No, but seriously. No, I mean, is it are companies just more apt to just have more to spend at the end of the year, and it's like one of those things where they have money left over and they this is a good investment, or why? What's the reason?
I have no idea.
Well,
I asked the same question when I worked at Star.
It's like they have budget that have allocated for capital expenditure, and they go, we've got 10, 20, 30, 40,000 we have to spend on something. So
yeah, I mean,
one of those things, it's like whatever falls into place at that time.
Correct.
Copier, some type of equipment that they have to purchase.
Correct. Yep. In our recent success this fourth quarter, it really has had nothing to do with fourth quarter. It was more of a timing.
Yeah.
For example, a company finalized a deal to purchase other locations. They needed phones.
Yeah.
The other one was we've had so many issues with internet backup. We need to make a change. We need, you know, so it really, I hate to say it, you know, there was no real motivation financially for them necessarily. Although there were some great promotions.
Yeah, we're running some very good customer promos. Right?
Absolutely.
Well, it's going to drive some of those customers that are on the fence and they have to have a project started next year, and they plan for it now. So I think our incentives kind of push that along a little bit.
Sure.
I've heard that from a lot of partners. It's like their customers sitting out there and they're ready to downturn for the holidays, but they're going to get, you know, this project finished on this side and then start, you know, installation starting sometime first quarter next
year.
That's
right. Yeah, and the current promos were great for that particular client.
Yeah.
You know, nothing out of their pocket in two months free.
Can't beat that.
You really can't. And you know, on a client of that size, that made a lot of sense for them to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I can't answer that question for you, Dave. I
come
asked
on,
that.
Kev,
I asked
let's
that.
Go. You're supposed to figure that. Kind
I
of
asked
stuff
that
out.
Of all my partners when I worked here. So why does everyone wait?
Yeah.
But no, I think the really good partners, though, that are really out there grinding and working hard and making sure that they're taking care of their clients, I think they see success all year.
Do you think, I mean, as a partner now, I mean, do you think that partners ever would hold back a deal to wait for the fourth quarter? Like, if you have an opportunity to sign a contract, like, are you going to hold that deal back?
Are we talking, like, the end of September into October?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to know. You can tell me yes.
I'd like to tell you yes if it meant making more money, but if the customer's timeline was what it was,
right?
Then I would put.
I mean,
the
you're
deal
not going to like say no and then lose the deal over waiting 2 weeks.
Correct. Yeah.
It's nothing worse than like putting off someone saying I'm ready to close and you're trying to put it off.
You kind of disappear. Yeah.
Because you think
weeks.
I might get a little bit more out of it.
Yeah.
It's like you could. The chance of that about 50-50, probably losing it.
That's right. Yeah. You know, if I have an opportunity to make a sale, I'm going to make a sale.
Get it off. Get that deal off the street.
That's right.
Yeah.
So when you're looking for new customers now, are you primarily focused on customer? I mean, what's the area you're focused on right now? Is it in Pinellas? I mean, is it north of Sarasota? Is it in Sarasota? Is it in Tampa? Or is it sort of anywhere in between?
Have car, will travel. Seriously. So we have a new client down in Venice.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a new client up in Wesley Chapel. If you've driven Venice to Wesley Chapel, it's a long drive.
Not short, yeah.
No, not at all. New Tampa, everywhere, Brandon, Palmetto, you name it. So
your office is in Tampa though, right? Where Gulf Tech IT is based.
Correct, yeah. Yep. Our office is in Tampa. I don't think we have any plans of moving that anytime soon.
Yeah.
It's convenient for the bulk of
it's
our
the same office
customers.
That Doug used to be in. Okay,
for now, yeah.
Stiff competition down here in Sarasota.
We got
too.
Picnic benches it out is. By the outside there.
There is,
yeah,
front and back.
Yeah.
You ever go out there and have a sandwich?
No, I don't.
What kind of sandwich would you have?
I'm a Cuban guy.
Cuban guy.
Yeah, we actually have a couple good Cuban restaurants as
Ybor.
A client. So, Ybor's good. The bulk of them get their bread from Ybor. Yep.
Oh,
yep.
John and I like to talk about sandwiches on this. I think on the last
Italians.
Podcast we talked about tuna melt.
We have a great customer called the Floridian.
Yeah.
They're in Tampa. Great
Cuban
sandwich.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it a restaurant or like a, what is it?
It's like a sandwich shop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
And did you bring us the sandwiches
from
this restaurant?
Did you bring shirts or sandwiches or anything?
No,
I mean, what
sandwiches.
Did you bring, seriously?
You
brought a notebook?
I brought a notebook.
Okay. Well, can we, I mean.
I brought geez. A star notebook.
Next time, how about some sandwiches, Kev?
Well, I didn't come from Tampa today, so.
Where were you at? Where'd you come from?
Where did you go?
I came from my house today.
Oh, where are you living now? You're in Bradenton.
He's probably still here close.
I'm in East Lakewood Ranch, way out east.
Think your wife could have made some sandwiches to bring in?
She's at work.
Okay. Okay.
She's taking care of people.
Taking care. This is all.
Taking care of it.
Okay. All I've heard is excuses.
Not much has changed.
Rough crowd.
Rough crowd.
Rough crowd. Wow.
Well, next time we'll have to go up.
You're a little cranky. Maybe
not
you should have
all,
a Snickers
actually.
Or something. Have a little...
I'm hangry.
You're hangry.
Turns into Joe
Pesci. Do we have any sweets or something for David? So he
no. Next time, maybe we should go up and do the podcast at the Alpha at the Gulf Tech offices, and then we could have the sandwiches up there.
That sounds good.
Yeah. That's probably what we need to do, is take the podcast on the road.
We actually have some film.
Yeah. Yes, I remember this. Yeah.
There's a film of going up there.
Yeah.
So. That.
Wow. Those are the good old days.
Yeah. So, how many kids do you have now, Kevin? You have one on the way, don't you?
I still have two children and one on the way. Yes,
okay.
That's
well,
right.
I was like, I'm just.
One on the way? That's good.
We're
congratulations.
Thank you.
Are you having a boy or a girl? Do you know?
It's a boy.
It's a boy.
Kevin Cox.
And when is
he due? He's due February 7th.
February 7th?
That's right.
Ooh.
Groundhog Day. No, I'm just joking.
Is it ground?
No.
It's Columbus Day?
I think it's a week from Valentine's Day.
It's close to President's Day.
Oh, and Valentine's
Okay.
Day. That's good. Congratulations.
Thank you. Very excited.
That's Absolutely. Cool. That's so life's good?
Life is very good right now.
Okay. You look very happy.
Thank you.
Playing any golf?
I've been watching a lot of golf. My kids have been playing.
Oh, that's nice.
They play for the PGA Junior League. So I've been watching a lot of golf.
Oh, you're going to push them toward that tour, aren't you?
I'm steering them.
Retire.
I'm steering them. Yeah, that's the ultimate plan.
That'd be nice.
Get them on tour. I'd really
his retirement plan is to hope his kids make the PGA tour.
I got a better chance of winning the lottery.
Yeah,
probably.
Exactly.
No, it's been great. They've been playing for probably, gosh, I don't know, 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
But now that they're actually starting to mature and grow into their body, they're able to hit the ball a lot further. It's just a real fun time. We like to go out, my wife and I, and watch them.
Nice.
They play 9 holes typically, match play. But it's a great fun day.
How old are your kids?
12 and 13.
Ooh.
Wow.
Okay.
Two great babysitters.
Just
yeah.
Yes.
But they're at that age
point.
Where they start to go from that, 12, 13 to 14, 15. It's like,
Yeah, my daughter's 13 going on 30. So.
Yeah.
30 wouldn't be said. 13 going on 20 is the issue.
Yeah.
I know that all too well. You know, I have a 1-year-old now.
You got a ways to go.
All right. Well, so let's go back to the business. What do you think, John?
Well,
or should we talk about sandwiches more?
I kind of like the sandwich topic, but
sandwiches
okay.
are business.
That's pretty much.
That's
yeah.
true.
So what
it's
do
business
you,
time?
Kevin, is that your that your favorite form of transportation? The plane? Do you take the plane? Do you do that to your smaller installations? Are you gonna say
we do not have a plane.
Oh, you don't have a plane yet.
Yet.
You're referring to a picture of Kevin Cox getting into a small private plane. Is it
yes.
A,
that
yes.
would be. Mr. Worthington's plane.
Yeah. Silver Star?
Silver okay. Star.
That's what I thought. Yep. I
rode that many times. Haven't ridden it recently. And no, the bulk of what we do is by car. So
okay. Well, it's in Florida. That's the way to go. There's no point in trying to fly from, point A to point B. It's just drive it.
That's right. Although
unless you had a private plane.
What those were in Florida, though.
But you don't have a private plane.
Don't have a private plane.
Okay. No. Okay. Well, that makes sense then.
No.
I don't even know where to go from that.
That's John for you.
Well, Kevin, it's great seeing you.
Yes.
Thank you. We see you very, very often here, actually. You come in and you're doing partner services deals, so it's good to see you.
What's your outlook look like for 2019? What are you guys... What are some of the things that customers, you mentioned 4G, is that something you guys look at selling a lot more of into 2019? Because I'll tell you from a star-to-star standpoint, we have done a lot of 4G deployments. It's been a very easy sale for a lot of partners. And it's an awesome way to give your customers a peace of mind and make some additional revenue.
Well, yeah, certainly for clients who really can't be down and in an assisted living facility, that's not really an option, right? And when you have offices in rural Georgia where you have one form of internet connectivity that tends to bounce a lot, it was a great solution for them, and they really saw the value in it. So certainly redundancy from an internet connectivity is great. SD-WAN is something that we're going to start exploring with our clients.
Would you go back out to current customers and talk about SD-WAN?
Yeah, those are the easiest clients. To,
some partners like to sort of let current customers like go, but some partners really like to sort of go back out and have an opportunity for an upsell.
Yeah, I'm always a big proponent of taking care of existing clients.
Okay.
Getting to know their business intimately, letting them know that we're here for them. Frankly, in my opinion, you know, organic growth is a lot easier than finding new
clients.
You've
already got 120 customers that are opportunities
to grow. That's right.
I have
probably worked for the next 2 years to visit all of my clients and see what other products or services they might be interested in or need for their business. A lot of things, like they said, that Doug never did when he was managing Alpha. And it's something that Brian and I see as income potential, as well as a need for a lot of these clients. If I'm not going to offer it to them, someone else will.
Yeah, somebody else will. And
someone else will, or they just don't know.
Yeah, they don't know, or they don't know, and someone else is going to come in and ask about it, and they're going to think, why hasn't Gulf Tech talked to me about this?
I got a great idea. Why don't you use one of our Ziff programs, actually do an email campaign to all these adjunct items, SD-WAN, 4G.
Absolutely.
It's like, that can just turn up, because if you're not touching them, somebody else will.
So great point. So
I'll just lead you with that, because obviously you're already probably doing that, right?
Absolutely.
Well, you're going out. I mean, obviously, you know these customers' businesses, and you're going to go out, you know, look at the ones that you know are high priority and know that need the redundancy and sort of start there. I mean, start at the top, you know, where you have the lowest hanging fruit.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not just limited to 4G LTE.
Yeah.
So I think a goal of ours was to kind of morph into a managed service provider.
Mm-hmm.
And provide a bigger portfolio of services for our clients and a couple
of
reasons.
So what are the other things you guys want to sell down the line? Security being one of them?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we're doing a big firewall project right now for a client. So security is something that a lot of customers want and need. It comes up often.
Yeah.
We have a lot of clients who have said, hey, you guys do a great job with our phone system. Can you also help us with our endpoints, our desktop computers, or our server? So we've looked into partnering with a major managed service provider here in Tampa and rolling out their CRM program, their ticketing program, their remote desktop program. So those are some things that we're going to look into at the beginning of the year so we can offer those services to some of our clients that have expressed that. And again, it keeps them very sticky.
Yeah.
It's one throat to choke.
Mm-hmm.
When you have all the endpoints, it's like nobody can come in and
correct.
Tap,
yeah,
tap
and it's easy for them.
In there.
Correct, and it gives them one phone call. You know, if they're having issues with their computers or their phones or their internet, they can call us because we'll be managing all of that for them. So, and I think with our company not being too big, obviously, we have a very vested interest in every single client. So when a client calls us or if they have an issue, Brian and I take it very seriously into heart. And we try to provide a level of service that they're not going to get anywhere else, because you know we truly live by our customers. So, so we really care about that, and we want to make sure that whatever technology they need, they can come to us for it. And if it's not something that we currently do, we'll get trained on it. We'll become a partner. That's what we have to do with whatever that supplier is.
Yeah,
and we can offer them that service and help them implement it and maintain it. So
yeah, I mean, obviously that's the way to go. I mean, you're going to have to continue to adapt the business, otherwise you're just going to get left behind. So I think that's the right move.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of great solutions out there in the security space and the server space and CRM that you can take advantage of. That, like John said, if you guys don't do, someone else is going to.
That's right.
And the next thing you know, you're going to be trying to keep the phone deal, and then
we're
going to be hollering at you and say, Kevin, what happened?
Yeah,
that's right.
So, absolutely.
Yeah, and keeping a client for me is a lot easier than finding a new one. So, I'm very happy taking care of the customers that we already have. And if we get new referrals and what have you for new clients, then those are great too. But I certainly don't want to neglect the customer base that we've built up over the past, gosh, I mean, 8 or 9 years at least with Star to Star.
Right.
And really over the last 25 years, 26 years now in Tampa.
Wow.
So
I didn't realize Alpha was around that long.
Yeah, it was founded in 92.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's, you know, you see that that high customer number. We've got records of whether it's project work or we sold them something or a premise-based phone system going all the way back to there. So it's a lot of clients.
Wow, that's incredible. So
it's mostly Toshiba back in the
Nortel.
Day? Nortel.
Some Toshiba, yep.
Some Toshiba, Nortel.
Yep.
Okay.
In fact, I'm working on a couple clients that have some Toshiba systems and I just can't find anybody to work on them.
No.
So if you know when it's done and it's time to move them over to a you know a cloud solution. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
All right. We always like to ask one last question.
I'll answer it before you ask it.
All right, let's hear it.
Because I do listen to your podcast.
Okay, let's hear it.
I have two dogs.
Oh.
Is that what you're going to ask me?
No, I was going to ask you about... Oh. No, you're right. I was going to ask about the dogs.
You ask about pets, right?
Yes, absolutely. That's you have right. two dogs.
Two dogs, Finley and Frankie.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, two girls. Two girls, yeah.
Two girls. So what kind of dogs are they, John?
You can tell based on the name?
We like to guess.
Well,
we just
carriers.
Added this segment
Scottish
in the last episode.
No, I mean, they're adopted, so can't really tell you what kind of dogs they are.
I mean, you could tell us if they're like, I mean, they're not bulldogs. I mean.
One's got a little bit of, we think American bulldog and maybe some spaniel in her. The other one looks kind of like an Akita and a Shiba Inu.
I think that's the second time we've talked about a Shiba Inu on this podcast. I feel like I looked it up.
It wicks water real well. So if she gets wet, it just comes right off.
Like
they're medium size, 60 pounds.
Maybe they should turn that fur into like a shoe. If it wicks water off, you step in a puddle.
Maybe like something to dry your car with.
Absolutely.
Like a mud boot you can just wear.
Yeah.
You think people would be comfortable wearing the dog?
Dog fur.
This thing's kind of a little itchy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's got fleas. Did you come with pictures of your dogs to the podcast?
I always have pictures somewhere on my phone here. But
how old are your dogs, Kev?
They're four.
Four.
They're both four. So my wife actually had them when we met. They're spooning in that picture. It's a great
one.
Are they friendly with each other?
Very friendly with each other, yeah.
Oh, that's a nice picture.
But so I adopted them when we... When we met.
You do paperwork?
Not legally.
Okay. You just kind of, okay.
Just, I think it's assumed.
Spiritually accepted them.
Correct.
Okay.
But they're great.
Spiritually accepted them.
So it'll be interesting to see how they...
No clerk of court or anything. You have to go and get a notary or do anything. Okay.
No, not at all. So it'll be interesting to see how they accept the baby in February. So.
Oh, I think they're going to love them.
Yeah.
One of them's very curious about the baby room that we're working on. So she likes to smell everything and... But they're great. They, they require a lot of attention, but they're really fun.
You want any more
dogs? Yeah. No, my wife would have 10 dogs if I would let her.
What about like another animal, like a cat or a lizard?
No, absolutely not. No, I'm trying to catch an armadillo right now.
Trying to catch as a pet?
Squirrels.
To relocate. To relocate.
You have squirrels in your yard?
A couple.
Okay. I like the squirrels.
A couple of squirrels.
We were driving back from lunch today, and we pretty much committed there was a couple of squirrels throwing oak nuts at your car. Yeah, it was kind of awkward.
Tesla. That's not good.
That's the Lesla.
The Lesla.
you know how you go into a mall and there's a store with like there's regular lids and then there's like lids with a Z. It's like a little the off kilter brand of. Don't you think someone should make Tesla with a Z, sort of a knockoff Tesla?
I think they tried that, didn't they, Les?
Yeah.
Tesla.
Yeah. Yeah, many have tried, but only a few have succeeded. But
nobody succeeded, really.
Just him.
Yeah. Well, and every other, and Mercedes-Benz, and everyone else selling Electra, well, that's a whole different podcast.
Next week's podcast, right?
We're having Elon Musk on, right? Did you get Elon?
Yeah.
Oh, good. He's coming. Thank goodness.
So this episode will get pushed down a lot. When we get
Elon great. Musk. Yeah. I won't be a hard act to follow. You'll forget me.
He's going to be in studio, Elon.
Oh, perfect.
I think you're doing it from space.
Is he bringing shirts or sandwiches?
He's flying you guys to space.
He's bringing actually small rockets.
Small rockets.
Oh, I like that.
Flamethrowers. That's right.
All right, Kev. Well, it's great to have you on. Great to see you. Thanks for coming by the office.
Appreciate it.
You going to swing by and see some others before you? What's your plan for the rest of the day?
Yeah, I've actually got some RMA equipment to drop off. So, and then probably swing by and see my account manager. Say hey.
Devin, is it your account manager, Devin?
Frank.
No? Frank?
Frank.
I don't know all the regions.
Frank Diaz.
Frank.
Like
Frankie Frank.
And check on some orders I have back in fulfillment that are about to get shipped. So
excellent.
Go see Mr. Peters back there.
That's right.
Excellent.
Don't just walk around the building. Make sure you're escorted. We have a lot of security here.
I will.
All right, Kev. It's great. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. Wish Brian our best.
I will.
Tell him to enjoy Stuart. Look out for John. We might take a jet ski over to Stuart one day.
I've done that, actually. Have you?
You've ridden? You rode a jet ski from where to where?
From Fort Myers to Stuart.
I know you guys think one day?
That seems so absurd.
It took
absurd.
Like 8 hours, but yeah.
Didn't your legs hurt from that?
Yes. It was pretty painful. Crossing Lake Okeechobee with 3 to 4 foot waves, yeah. It was not.
And you went by yourself. You didn't have any like accoutrement?
Was there any red tide?
No. There was
no red tide.
No. I did.
8 hours. Did you ride back?
No. My daughter and my current son-in-law, they drove over from Fort Myers.
How long did it take them, eight hours?
No, they had
3 hours.
They had some
2 hours, maybe
vacation time in South Bay.
Did you not have a trailer?
What?
No, I think you just wanted to do it.
You just didn't have a trailer?
For
the jet ski? We trailered it
to put it in the water.
They
drove to the other coast and I trailered back up.
You did this on purpose?
I did. It was a bucket list trip.
Wow.
What did you see? Did you see anything interesting along the way?
No.
Waves.
Just a lot of... It was just... after halfway through, getting through like Okeechobee, I was like, what have I done here? Because once you get out there, you can't see...
Did you have any navigation?
Shoreline. No, that was, you know... No.
Just go east.
I was heading toward the... Yeah.
Follow the sun. East.
There's one marker.
There is one. It
in the center of the lake.
When you go out of Clewiston, Roland Martin's Marina, there are markers to get you out to the middle of the lake. Once it's there, you are on your own.
Yep.
And you cannot see shoreline.
Oh my God.
It's 60 miles across east, west, north, south. So
you can't see shore.
You'll start heading toward.
You could have died, John.
What if you had broken down?
What happened to this podcast if you would have died?
What if you had broken down on a jet ski in 4 foot waves?
Did you have to refuel halfway?
Yes. A lot of questions here, boys. Slow down a little bit here.
Do you have a gas tank strapped to the back of your
jet ski? Actually, I had 2 5-gallon gas tanks that were inside. I had a 13.9-foot SUV jet ski.
Jet ski.
It was a big one.
Like a 6-seater.
It was like almost 7 foot wide. You can look them up. It's a 2004 SUV, Yamaha. It was huge.
Wow.
It was a cruising. It was a small boat. It was a 4-seater.
So you go by yourself. I had gas in the back.
I did by myself, and I fueled up halfway across in Clewiston. I pulled into the marina, filled up, had some lunch, got back on, and
what'd you have for lunch?
I don't remember. I don't remember.
Did you get a plaque for this or an award?
No, I was a bucket list thing. It was something I really wanted to do.
Is this common for people to do?
Like,
is there like a Facebook group you can?
Well, I think if you want to see people that actually have climbed Mount Everest or done something,
that's what I'm asking.
It's one of those things. Wouldn't you think that would be somehow? I'm sensing that you don't.
I would do it in a heartbeat.
Okay,
I wouldn't do that.
I just didn't know it was a thing. That's what I'm saying to people. They have discussions. I would only do it if I had a trained guide.
I think it was.
I'd do it with navigation, though. I wouldn't do it. Blind.
Well, this is, I mean, nowadays I feel like you could just do it with your phone.
Yeah, you could.
2004.
Yeah. 2004, yeah, they didn't even have an iPhone then.
They didn't have phones back then.
You were rocking a BlackBerry with no GPS on it.
You had a phone in a bag.
Pretty much.
Phone in a bag.
Yeah, but I made it.
Wow. At any point in the trip, did you get really nervous? Like,
yeah.
Halfway through Lake Okeechobee?
When you left the channel markers.
It was probably 2.5 hours of just trying to cross. Like Okeechobee, and wow. I was halfway, and I was just going across 3 and 4 foot. It was not.
Were there any boats around though? Like if you got stuck, they could have helped you.
No,
probably not.
60 miles,
John. That is
that's no, living on the edge.
Oh, how old were you? 2004. So you were in your thirties then.
Mid thirties. Yeah. No.
That was 14 years ago.
Yeah.
That was like 35.
It was mid-30s.
Yeah. 36.
Not good with math, are you?
No. Fast math, not my skill. But I work in marketing. I don't do math.
I have pictures. I'll show you.
Oh.
Are we still recording?
We're always recording. Yeah. Kevin, you asked that before this. We're always recording. This is a continual. We don't end, Kevin, until I say end.
I've listened to several of them.
All right, that's enough for one day. What do you think?
I think so.
End there. Let's end now.
We're good.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin Cox, for Heads in the Cloud. I'm David Portnowitz.
John Roth.
Kevin Stay tuned Cox. Next time. We got Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe
flame,
not.
And flamethrowers.
Flamethrowers. We'll let Frederick
figure
that out.
There'll be no smoking.
If we don't have Elon Musk, it'll be
Frederick's
fault.
There'll be no smoking in the interview.
Yeah, we're not going to.
And that's a wrap.
All right.
Okay.
Peace.